She had everything in the world on them screens that night. Hallelujah. Everybody don't do it alike. Thank God. I have learned some things over the years. I found out a long time ago, message don't have to be eternal to be immortal. Some preachers never learned that. I found out they'll, pay you as much preacher high fare as they will hour and a half and like you a whole lot better. Now, preachers, old Ben Franklin said a word to the wise ought to be sufficient. Hallelujah. Two men walked out of a service one Sunday. One of them said, "What do you think about that message?" He said, "It reminded me of peace and mercy." He said, "He didn't preach on peace and mercy." He said, "I didn't say that." He said, "It reminded me of peace and mercy." He said, "How so?" He said, "Well, like peace, it passed all understanding." And said, "Like mercy, I thought it's going to endure forever." I believe I've sat and tried to listen to that feller. Amen. So I'll tell you again, I'll get you out of here before Waffle House closes. Guarantee it tonight. Book of First Chronicles. Seventeenth chapter of First Chronicles. There's a little old boy where I was at here a while back, got rowdy, And his mama started out with him, and I called her hand. I said, "Wait a minute, that youngin ain't a bothering me." Well, I wasn't prepared for her answer. She turned and said, "He may not be a bothering you, but you sure are a bothering him." And boy, God showed me something, Charles. If I ain't a bothering somebody, I ain't doing my job. That's what God called me to do, to bother people. Bother them so bad they get off that old hell-bound highway. Get right with God and go to heaven. And so get out here and help me to bother people. Amen. Bother them so bad, don't let them go to hell comfortable. Let's bother them, amen, till they get right with God. All right, fourth verse, 17th chapter. of First Chronicles, and God's speaking to old Nathan the prophet here, and he said, "Go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in." Father, I thank you for your word. This time together in the tabernacle tonight, God, I pray you'd move in our midst, speak to our hearts, help us to respond, dear God, accordingly. Now, I can't, but you can. I come to allow you. Have your blessed way. Somewhere down the road, I'll get down and thank you and praise you. Tell everybody you did it all. For it's in Jesus' name I do humbly pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Go and tell David, my servant. Boy, I did a double take that here a while back, and I read that off the wall of my mind. Go and tell David, my servant. You know, it's one thing for somebody to declare themselves a servant of God, but when God himself comes along and says, "That's my servant," one thing for somebody to say, "That's a servant," but boy, when God points you and says, "That's my," and that's what's happening right here. God called him my servant. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. Can you imagine what kind of a house David lived in? I mean, he didn't eat out of paper plates. He didn't drink out of styrofoam cups. He had golden and silver vessels. And I can't get it straight in my mind what David's house looked like. Boy, listen, he's been reminded here of where God got him. Amen. And friend, he gets wanting to do something for God. Amen. And I know how he felt. Sometimes I get the same impression. Boy, God's blessed me. Amen. And I ain't some kind of pet. He's blessed you too. Amen. Friend, amen. He blessed every last one of us. You know, I was thinking the other day, talking about the rich young ruler, Spirit of God was so specific to tell us he's rich. And then Luke 19, there's a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press, cause his littleness. Now, the Bible is so specific. Preacher, tell us them fellows is rich. But they had never slept on a pillow foam mattress. They had never ridden in an air-conditioned automobile. They'd never enjoyed a meeting like we've been in around here. Yet the Bible said they're rich. Now, my God, if they're rich, what's that make me? If there's rich, what's that make you? Amen. I'm a telling you, church, we ought to be the shouting this crowd this side of heaven. Yeah. Huh? I mean, them boys are rich. They had never sat down at Harbor Inn like I did today and eat food like that. The Bible said they're rich. What's that make us? Huh? Yes, sir. And old David got to think about how good God had been to him. And he said, "I'm going to build him a house." Now, I'm persuaded in my heart that he had in his mind and on his heart to build God a house that'd make his look like a chicken coop. Yes, sir. Had that in his heart. You know, Bible called him ruddy. You've read that, he's ruddy. You know what I found out? That word ruddy means different. And I can understand that because Ruddy, he was probably a fair complexion. And somebody said he might even have red hair like Stacy over there. And he is Ruddy. Anybody ever call you Ruddy, brother? Lame. Well, I am tonight. He's different. I mean, I've been to that part of the land, and them people ain't a fair complexion, and they ain't got red hair, Stacy. They're dark-skinned people, raven black hair. Now, he's different, wasn't he? Had to be. He's a little bit of a picture of our Lord. And he was different. He's a God man. Never been another like him. Amen. He wasn't half God and half man, or half man and half God. He's as much God if he hadn't been man. And he's as much man if he hadn't been God. He's a God man. You say, I can't figure that out. I wouldn't have a God I could figure out. That'd be a little God that we could get straight in our mind, wouldn't it? Yes, sir. And he's different. Listen, he is enough man that he got hungry. And down yonder, Sychar's, well, them disciples had gone to get food for him to eat, you know. I see him having breakfast on the beach one morning, them disciples. He's enough man, he got hungry. But he's enough God, he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men. And they picked up 12 baskets full of leftovers. He's enough man that he got thirsty. And even on the cross he cried out and said, I thirst. But he's enough God to stand out yonder when there wasn't nothing to stand on. Amen. And say the word, and the rivers begin to run down out of the mountains. He's enough man, he got weary. Laid down in the hinder part of that little old ship, went to sleep. Yes, sir. But he's enough God, when the storm come blowing through, to stand up and say, peace be still, and send the wind to pack it. I said I could just hear the wind say, excuse us, sir, we didn't know it was annoying you. We'll go home. I could hear them waves say, excuse us, Jesus. We didn't know it was bothering you, sir. We'll lay low. And there's a great calm. Yes, sir. Hey, he is enough man to kill him, put him in Joseph's new tomb. But he's enough God on the third day morning, hallelujah, to walk out and say, I'm he that was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I said, my God, ain't that a joke on the devil? He ain't even got the key to his own house. Jesus said he had the keys of hell. Yes, sir. I don't know about you. I thought about, you know, all my youngins got a key to my house. They come in, Carolyn ain't there. They just go in, get in my refrigerator and eat my groceries. Help herself. Yes, sir. But did you know what? I ain't got a key, Stacy, to one of their houses. Not a single one of them. Hey, rest of you like me? Yeah, I see a lot of nodding heads there. Yes, sir. But the devil ain't even got the key to his own house. Jesus said he had the keys to death, hell, and the grave, boy. I said if somehow, some way I did go to hell, he'd let me out. He's got the key. Yes, sir. What a God's blessing. Amen. He's different, I'm a-telling you. Like old David, ruddy. Yeah. Hallelujah. David said, I want to build him a house. It ain't right I live in a house like this. And my God down yonder living behind a curtain. In that tabernacle, in the tent. I'm going to build him a house. And boy, listen, God sent old Nathan the prophet. Said, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to live in. I'm going to preach a little while tonight, God being my helper on when God says no. Now, if he ain't never told you no, you just be prepared. It's coming. I know where I'm coming from, brother. There's been time God said no. I had it in my heart to preach a meeting back in South Carolina last week in this month. That preacher called me Saturday and said, Brother Bob, he said something wrong with me and they can't find out what it is. And he said, I'm going to have to cancel that meeting. Said, I wouldn't ask you to come when I can't even be there. And so I had it in my heart, I'm going to do it. God said, no, you ain't going. Amen. You ain't going to Packlet. Preacher. And I don't know what the times, boy, they had, you know, a hurricane come blowing through South Carolina last year, and I scheduled for a meeting. And that 65-mile-an-hour gale winds are blowing in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And that preacher called, he said, Brother Bob, we're going to have to do something. I said, we can't expect people to come out in this kind of weather. And I had it in my heart to do it. And God said, no, you ain't going. I know where I'm coming from. I prayed hard for my mama some years back. Her laying there on what they said was her dying bed, and that God would leave her with me for a while. I'd walk in that nursing home where we had mom, and before I'd ever get to her room, I'd hear her praying, Jesus, come get me. That's what she's praying. I'd walk in, she said, boy, you praying? I said, praying what, mom? That Jesus come get me. I said, no, I ain't praying that. I said, it's all right for you, but where's that leave me? This old world, no mama. I said, I ain't praying that. I said, I'm looking, she's 94 years old. I said, I believe you're going to make it to be 100. She said, I don't want to be no 100, and don't you pray that. And boy, she'd lay there and pray, come get me, Jesus. Well, it wasn't long till she outprayed me. And I was begging God to leave her around for a while. God said no. God took her. I'm satisfied. I'm preaching to people tonight. God told you no over that loved one. Took them on to heaven. And boy, listen, that's important that we know how to react when God says no. They, some people, just go ahead anyhow. I'm satisfied, preacher, that they preachers stand in pulpits every Sunday morning. God told them, no, you can't preach, and they're still a preacher. I mean, they ain't qualified according to that book. And yet they're standing every Sunday morning, amen, before congregations of people. Now, if that makes you mad, you can apologize and I'll forgive you. But it's God's truth, buddy. Yes, sir. Some of them double married, triple married, and everything else still standing in the pulpit across America. And buddy, contrary to the teaching, God said no, and it's been dead anyhow. I had a good friend down in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, Raymond King. He used to play and sing with the Louvin brothers years ago. And when Ira Louvin got killed in a car wreck, old Raymond picked up that mandolin and played The Family Who Prays. You never knowed it wasn't Ira Louvin. And he had a ministry going out in Arizona. He had a heart for Indians like nobody ever saw in my life. And he'd go through Oklahoma and have a little Bible school with them Cherokees out there in Oklahoma. And on into Arizona, Tuba City, Arizona. and them Indians, you know. I got a phone call. I was working in my garden, got a phone call. And Raymond was on the road in Arizona, had a little old RV he's traveling in, and he pulled off to make some pictures and pulled back on, and there's a trucker, 18-wheeler driver, hadn't had enough sleep, didn't see him in time, run right over top of him. And he ended up losing a leg and eventually his life. His wife's down in Soddy Daisy with no mind today and awful shape on earth. And before Raymond died, you know what he told me? He said, "Brother Bob, I wasn't supposed to go." He said, "God told me not to go this year, but he said I wanted to go so bad, I went on anyhow." He maxed out $1 million insurance policy. And they had him in all but a closet down in Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga. He maxed out that $1 million policy. And off his shape on there, took his leg off, he set up gangrene that killed him. And God told him, "Don't go." But he went anyhow. Hey, when God shuts the door, don't crawl in no window. Hey, man, you headed for trouble, man. You go ahead. When God says no, you better drop it like a hot potato, man. God says no. And buddy, listen. Old David has helped me. Hope it helps you tonight. Three verses, I'm done. We'll go home. Here in the 17th chapter, 1 Chronicles. Verse 16, verse 20, and verse 23. Watch your book. Now remember, God just told him, "No, you ain't building me no house to dwell in." Verse 16 said, "The king came here and sat before the Lord and said unto Daniel." You know what? He's saying, "God, you told me no, but I'm still talking to you." You tell some people no, they'll quit talking to you. As long as you agree with them, they'll talk to you. You tell them no, and buddy, they'll quit talking to you. Youngins are notorious for that. I told Israel here a while back, I said, he's got three little old boys, you know. I said, "Israel, meet me and Carolyn over in Johnson City Mall, food court, and we'll fellowship and get some food and talk for a little while." He said, "All right, Dad." We set a time to meet. I stand at the entrance to the food court, and I saw him coming out of Sears, and three little old boys. And old Jackson, he was all mulled up. I've never seen such a look on a youngin' face. I said, "Israel, what's the matter, Jack?" He said, "I'll tell you exactly what's the matter with him." Said he saw a football in Sears there, and it's $19, and I said no. And that little boy, he likes Chick-fil-A, you know. I said, "Jack, let's go over and get you some chicken." Hey, he wouldn't even talk to me. I wasn't even one told him no. He smelled up, maybe. He wouldn't even talk to me. That ain't David. David said, "God, you told me no, but I want you to know I'm still talking to you." Hey, I don't know about you, church. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. If he tells me no 40 times a day, I still got to talk to him. I still got to have that conversation with the Lord. Amen. He said, "I'm still talking to you, Lord." All right, verse 20. He said, "I'm likened to thee." He said, "God, anybody like you? Hey, mama, you tell them youngins, no, you can't do that. And apparently you're the best mom on earth. You'll die for the rest." Daddy, that boy trying to get the car for Friday night. You said, "No, you might as well hug. You can't He turned around and said, "Dad, you the best daddy on earth." Well, I party for this, man. Here's old David. God just told him no. He turns and wants you to know, son, God ain't gonna fight you. He's helped me. Boy, he's helped me, church. Telling you what the truth. Verse 23. Now, God told him, "I ain't gonna allow you to build my house. I'm gonna let your boy do it. Now, let Solomon build me." Looking at the word, they're established. And what David's saying now, God, that's settled. If that's the way it is, that's established. What he's saying, God, you told me no, but I'm still trusting you. That's the way it is. That's established. That's settled, God. I'm still trusting you. And boy, listen, what a blessing if we'd learned to use that draft. I mean, time and God just flat out tells me nothing. I'm going to take them in spite of you praying. Keep going to that church in spite of your desire to get. And boy, finally, hope David did. Maybe the way it is, God, but I'm still talking to you. I'm still thankful. I think you're the greatest. Ain't nobody greater, God. And Lord, I'm still trusting you. I'm still depending on you. Been church some years ago, Evangelism Conference in Greensboro. My brother there from New York. And brought a message. I can't remember his text, but I remember something he shared out of his production. And he said, "He's going to be a He said one day the farm boss put a little black boy playing when he's supposed to be working. He said he had to think of the end of his life. Took the little county by the house, kicked the door open for him. He said that night, one of the most fierce storms he had ever seen. Burned his barn, killed a lot of his cattle, did damage to his house, hurt him. He said, there's a knock on that little door. The farm brought up the door open and went in. And I'm sorry. I've talked about it for a long time. I'm not to help me. Thank you.